my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about the power of thought today. I mentioned to you earlier, there was a time last week when I was so sick and almost went to the hospital Friday night. I told Jan, I said, I'm just so sick, this bronchitis stuff. And they put me on some antibiotics later in the week. And so I thought I'd get feeling better and wasn't. And there was a thought that literally crossed my mind that I don't know if I'll ever recover from this because I was so sick. You ever been that sick before? I've never been that sick that I thought, I don't know if I'll fully recover from this. And then I caught it and I thought, well, that's a crazy thought. That's a demonic thought, really, isn't it? When you're diagnosed with something that should take its course and then be gone. But I want to tell you something. There is a, in the moment, never underestimate the power of thought in the moment. Whatever that moment may be. There's just something about, how many knows we are reactive people and we live in the flesh. Now, we're supposed to walk in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. But it doesn't take much flesh walk, does it, to start thinking wrong thoughts. Just like when my circumstances had brought me to a point in my thinking to think literal thoughts that I don't know if I'll ever get better or not. And because of circumstances that I had gone through the previous few days. And so there's something that's powerful about your thoughts. In fact, I read this not long ago here, but I thought it was worth repeating today. It says, watch your thoughts. They become words. You ever notice that? How your thoughts become words? Watch your thoughts. They become words. And then it says, watch your words. They become actions. So you want to watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words because they become actions. You ever got mad at someone and it started with a thought? Just a thought. Remember the old story, I've told this before, but it's so funny, about the guy that his lawnmower broke and he thought, you know, Charlie's got a lawnmower next door, he bought him a new one and I just go next door and borrow his. And he got to thinking about it, and he thought, well, he probably wouldn't loan me his lawnmower. And he got really upset, and so he went over and told Charlie, just keep your old lawnmower. And he's like, I don't even know what's the matter with him. But it all started with a thought and him thinking, he probably wouldn't loan me this or wouldn't do this for me. You ever thought somebody wouldn't help you when you needed help? You got mad or aggravated and you begin to think about all you've done for them in the past? And before you even talk to anybody, so watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. How many knows when you've got a habit, it can be very hard to break? Here's what I believe. I believe most of the stuff that you and I do on a daily basis is already pre-programmed inside of you. We're not very creative, and we should be creative, and the reason we should be creative in our thinking and our actions and what we do and how we react is because, how many of those, we always should be in a growth process. You agree with that? Getting a little bit better, you know, at whatever that will make us look more godly, that will make us line up with the Word of God to a greater degree. So we all should be in a changing mode, but a lot of what we do is reactive stuff, isn't it? It's already pre-programmed. Here's how you can tell. How many knows if you're talking about something with a family member or something and something a little controversial comes up and you say, you better not tell so-and-so that. You know what you're saying? I know how they'll react. See, it's a reactive thing. And we're that way a lot. We really are. We're that way a lot where we just know, like your spouse, you probably know certain things you don't really want to discuss or bring up about your spouse or their family or something in their life because they'll have a negative response or it creates, a negative response. And how many knows as children of God, we should be able to talk about anything. We should be able to grow past anything. I told him yesterday we were sitting and eating lunch, and And there's about 20 of us in there. And I said, just a couple weeks ago, Jana brought me a book, and it's got all kinds of hairdos in it. And she said, here, look through this book and pick me out a hairdo. And the ladies started laughing. They said, you did it? That's a trick. I didn't know. I didn't want to do it. And I said, I don't want to do it. She said, just look through. You're not doing anything. Just look through it. So 500 hairdos. I looked through all 500 hairdos. And I picked out this little cute looking hairdo. And she come back out after a while. She said, you pick one? I said, I like that one. She said, really? I said, well, yeah, I like that one. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they knew. They knew before I... See, that's a thought process, though, see? Her thoughts and my thoughts were on totally different... Well, I thought she wanted help. I still don't know what she wanted. That's hard. I mean, I don't know. I still don't know what she... I think she wanted to make fun of me because when people come over now, she'll get the book and say, wait, this is what Jack picked out right here. And then God said, I got to love her, so I guess I think I love her, you know. But it's like, what is that all about? It's just, it's a thought process, isn't it? And I should know by now that she's not wanting me to pick out a do for her. But I fell for it, and I tried. So what's your actions? They become your habits. And once you have a habit, you know, that thing is formed, and that's the way you just begin to respond. Maybe you've wanted a promotion and you thought, well, they're not going to give me a promotion. And you start acting like you're aggravated about it because your job would never give you a promotion because somebody's sharper or faster or smarter or something in your department or whatever. Where did that come from? And how does that hurt you and affect you? Yeah, it does. It affects us a lot. You know, because it puts our thinking in the wrong frame. I mean, those, you know, that's one of the things I love about listening to Joel Osteen. He always has something uplifting to say. We went out with my brother and his wife for dinner last night, and we were talking about different pastors and who we like, and then they brought up his name. And if you've ever listened to Joel, you just know there's going to be something positive. He's going to give you something positive to say, and he gets criticized because he does that. You know, I hear pastors criticize him all the time. Well, he don't talk about hell, and you know, and he don't talk about, but he talks about righteousness and being close to God and being sold out to receive God's best. You know what I call Joel Osteen? A friend of sinners. A sinner would come in and feel at home in his church because it's got a positive message, and it's called the good news, right? We call it the gospel, the good news. And he preaches good news, and so he gets criticized. But you know what? That's okay. He's the most watched pastor on television. And got one of the biggest and fastest growing churches in the world. So, you know, you're going to get criticized when you're out front doing. And it doesn't affect his thoughts, I'm sure. He just keeps preaching positive, uplifting word, and it keeps growing, and it keeps touching and changing lives. You go on his website, and he's got all kinds of things that you can get involved in, from Habitat for Humanity to orphanages to adoption agencies to whatever you want to get involved in on his website. I thought we need to increase ours, and that is one of our goals here, is to be more involved in our community. And so our thought process is not about us. It's about what we can do to be more Christ-like and give ourselves away. How many knows that's the thought process that we need to have? So our habits that we do create are good habits. So what's your actions? They become habits. What's your habits? They become your character. Your habits become who you are. You know, whether that's good, people think good of you or ill of you. You know, there's people I know that I like them, but I wouldn't want to give them a checkbook. You know who those are? And maybe some of them, it's not because I wouldn't trust them, but they're just not very good with their own checkbook. They've got credit cards and debt and, you know, and all that stuff. And I just don't need all that, you know. And so I wouldn't want to, I love them, but they're not. And so people think about you and your character, whether you're, you know, what you are, and whether it's good thoughts or bad thoughts, they think about you, and that becomes your character. That becomes the basis of, when we talk about you, it's in a, that determines what's being said about you. You know, if it's a good person, or yeah, I like them, but, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it becomes your character. Then watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. It becomes your destiny. And that's a powerful train of thought when we're talking about our thoughts. It all starts with the thought. If you have your Bible and want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10, 2 Corinthians 10. How many knows it is your responsibility for the thoughts that you think? It's not. And so if you want to think correct thoughts, quit blaming others, you know. Quit blaming the economy. How many noticed gas went up to $3.40 a gallon? Huh? $3.48 again? Did it go up again? Well, thanks for sharing that latest report. $3.48 a gallon. How many noticed when you see that go up, there's some kind of thought in your mind? That's one. I need a little car. How many thought that when you went up gas pump? I need a little car.
Motorcycle.
How many thought, I need more money? Let me see. Yeah. How many thought, oh my gosh! You know, I mean, it's a gas pump. It's a gas pump, and we're all going to think something, aren't we? I mean, that's a normal reaction, and here's if we were thinking biblically, if we're going to think biblical thoughts, what would we think when we saw $3.48 a gallon? My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Just pull on in there and fill it up in Jesus' name. I mean, knows your daddy's got plenty of money? He got plenty of money. You say, well, he needs to share with me. No, he's giving you opportunity to get wealth. I'm reading a book right now. It's Faith at Work, I believe is the name of it. It's by C. Peter Wagner, and I've read two or three, so I'm not sure that's the title, but he talks about apostles being out in the workplace and how that the church needs to develop these apostles because there's a great transference of wealth that God is wanting to give to Christians in the workplace so we can better society and better our countries. And he gives a town in Guatemala and how they had transferred this wealth as a Christian apostle came in and was elected to an official position and mayor, whatever do their politics there. And so he turned this city around with a transference of wealth and knowledge and influence. And years ago it was 5% Christian, had gangs, had poverty, had all kinds of disease. It's a terrible town. And now today it's turned around. It's an affluent town. It's 95% Christian town. And how God wants to take people of faith and set them in politics and in city government and throughout the community, a tinker, wherever it may be, and say, you know what, make a positive impact where you are. Now here's the key. In our thinking, it's not about us, it's not about my promotion, it's about being responsible to carry this gospel and have this influence so I can make a difference for the kingdom of God. How many knows a big difference there when you're just thinking, oh, I got a promotion, or oh my, God has raised me up to a new responsibility, and now where much is given, much is what? Required. Okay? And so, your thought process, it matters what you think. Whatever subject it is, it matters what you think. We talk about relationships and marriage and how many knows the church has just about a same divorce rate as the world. Isn't that sad? And so when you bring up divorce in the church, you know, what are your thoughts on that? And they should be turning toward biblical principles and saying, if my I want to line my life up with biblical principles in whatever I'm thinking. And that's the way to increase your capacity to give, to love, to grow, is to say, I want all of my thoughts to line up with the Word of God, to be biblical-based thoughts, and stop walking according to the flesh. Watch what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now, if we do, this is where we come up with wrong thinking. See? In your thinking, when we're walking, we shouldn't be thinking according to flesh. We should be thinking according to spirit. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Listen, a stronghold is anything that the devil starts. You know, we give the devil a little open door. You know, if somebody hurts your feelings or somebody does you wrong and you open the door and harbor that stuff, that can become a stronghold where you're just consumed with revenge, you're consumed with I'll show them, or you're consumed with hurt. That's a stronghold. Maybe with the gas going up and the talking recession and you know, they play this every day on the news, don't they? Groceries. Did you know eggs just went up so much and people, how are they getting by? And they just dramatize that and they watch it, you know, and then my wife loves the news. How many love the news? Yeah. So if you love the news like my wife, you just have to be careful. Because they're going to paint a picture and it's going to be traumatic. And they're going to tell you how hard it is for families to get by and how high eggs and milk is and what are you going to do? And then we don't fill our mind with the Word of God and you don't offset that, and all of a sudden you're walking in the spirit of fear saying, what are we going to do? And so he says, you know what? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And then he says this, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Everything. The arguments and high things that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And what does that mean? Well, that means anything that this says and it comes against, it contradicts what God's Word says about you and who you are, and that you're the head, not the tail. You're blessed going in, blessed coming out, and you're blessed in the city, blessed in the country, and you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and all the things that it says that you are, you have to take hold of that adverse situations and say, that's not who I am. I'm more than that through Christ. And pull your thoughts back into line. See? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought. Say that, every thought. How many knows what every thought means? No thoughts are excluded, right? Every thought. Every thought. So what we should do is examine, especially if it's something in your life that you struggle with, you should say, what is my motive behind this thought? Why do I keep struggling with this same thing in my life? And how can I turn that around? How can I take that captive? Because he said examine every thought. And he says, and every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. And see, what he's saying is you have to take every thought captive in the obedience of this Word. I mean, this is God's Word to us. This is truth. This is absolute truth. Some of your universities you go to, they'll tell you this is not absolute truth. There's other truth. And Wednesday night we were, some of the Ground Zero kids came over and were part of our Bible study. It's a little training they're going through to become leaders and go back to Ground Zero, some of them, and be the leadership. Isn't that wonderful? That's a great process. I'm so proud of them for becoming. Say, so, you know, we want to go through a little leadership and a little training, and we want to give back to the youth group and the place that is invested in us. And now we want to invest in the next generation of kids. And I think that's so commendable for you guys. But we were sitting there and we're going through the book of Romans, and all of a sudden we're in Romans 2, and it talks about those that are without the law are judged by the law that is within them, and then it gets inside, that's been placed inside of them, and it says according to their conscience, either what they do, it accuses or excuses them. And we talked about that and people that's never heard the name of Christ, would they make heaven? I believe they would. And you know, and I think it was Aaron or one of them said, are you saying that there's another way to get to heaven? I thought, that's a good question, isn't it? That's a great question. That's a great thought. And I said, well, yes, that's what I'm saying. But it says when they stand, they're coming through Christ. How many knows, nobody's getting to the Father except through Christ. I just believe if they've never heard, but there's a set of laws that God has put on their heart, that's the only thought process they have. You and I are blessed because we have this to guide our thoughts if we study it and we know what it says. But if they've never been given the opportunity, I think God has made a provision for those. And that's why He said it's so important for you and I to share the gospel, to share the Word where we are. It's because He said when all have received the Word, then the end will come. But their thought process, they don't have this. How many knows until you became alive in this? Before I read this, my thought process was, if you come in and hurt one of our family members, we all hate you. That was pretty much, now it wasn't a spoken rule, and I have a good family, so but that's just kind of the rule that we painted. You hurt one of our family members, so all of us, you know, just... I mean, that's just kind of how I grew up, and I can remember seeing in the Bible one day when it says, love your enemies. And I thought, oh, I wonder if my family knows about this. And my thought process began to change. And I can remember one of our family members, they got in a little squabble, and they said, and they saw me out visiting with them one day, and they said, did you know that this happened? I said, I know. Did you know they hurt this? I said, yeah, I know. And were you talking to them? Yeah, I was talking to them. I was not only talking to them, I was loving them. Why? Because God said, even if you think they're an enemy, you got to love them. And so my thought process had to change. And to say, you know what, I don't have any enemies anymore because I just, on my part, I have to love them. See, my thought process changing. And so, giving the tithe, how many knows that has to be a revelation from God? I read in a book the other day, 2 or 3% of the church tithe. 2 or 3%. And then there's about 20% that give something. I call it a conscious offering. It makes you think you're doing better than you actually are. But he said, if you want to tithe, you want to give 10%, he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. In other words, you won't have to fight a lot of battles that you would otherwise. Now, it doesn't mean we're excluded or immune from battles, but it means there's a lot of them that we won't have to tackle. It's just pleasing to God. But I'm just saying, what's your thought process in giving? And what's your thought process in loving people that's unlovable, that has hurt you? It should, he said, taking it captive to the obedience of Christ. Taking it captive to say, my thoughts need to line up with this. Not with what I feel, not with what I want to do, not what I would rather do, but what does God's Word say? Because when I do what God's Word says, I get what God's Word promises. How many likes to get the promises? Turn with me to, what's my next scripture here? Turn with me to Exodus 12. It's always been kind of amazing to me when you read about the rich man that was in hell and he said, man, I don't want my brothers to come here and you need to send somebody back and, you know, let me go back and tell them not to come here or send Moses. And he said, you know what? If they won't believe the word, they wouldn't even believe it if I sent someone. Now, first few times I've read that, I don't know about you, I thought, I would believe if somebody came back from the dead. How many said, I would believe if somebody came back from the dead and said, you won't come here? I mean, that's hard for me to fathom that I wouldn't believe that. But here's what I know. Remember what I told you about thinking and the power of here and now in the moment? There is so much power in that. Here's what would happen. If you were kind of on the brink and having some faith issues about heaven or hell, and somebody appeared to you from the dead and said, listen, you don't want to come here. It's hot, it's real, and I'm stuck there for eternity, and then boof, they're gone. You know, for a while you'd be, oh my God. You know, and your heart would be fluttering and in about a week you'd think, man, that was something. And in about a year you'd think, was that real? Did I have too much pizza that day? In about 10 years you'd think, you know, I had a thought or a vision or something one time. See? Because we're here and now people. Our thinking is fixed on today. You ever get up one day and you just feel good, and the next day you're physically fine, but you just feel like, you know, the whole world's winning and beating you up, or, you know, I mean, just one day to the next. It's like, how does our thoughts get that far off in a day? Some of it's fatigue, some of it's out of balance with reading the Word of God, some of it's out of balance with prayer. That's how we do that, but isn't it amazing how you get caught up in the moment? The children of Israel, before they came out of Egypt, they were commanded, you know, this is slaves and trying to get people out of slave thinking. I think we need to get out of slave mentality too. I really do. I think a lot of us are in a slave mentality. It's called victim. I'm the victim, you know. We got that victim mentality. Well, nobody sent me a card. You know, when I'm sick, I appreciate if you call, but I'd just soon you pray and don't even call when I'm real sick. You know, if you're like me, it's like, you know, how you doing? Well, I'm sick. What do you want, you know? I was laying here resting, now I'm talking to you. Hurry, you know. I'm sorry, that's just the way I am. I know, y'all call that grumpy, don't you? Is that what you call that? Is that what you think? They're just different things. Some of you like people calling in cards, and if you call, I thank you for that. I know your heart was good, and you know, and all. But I'm just telling you, it's just different. You know, if you really want to cheer me up, just send me a card with $100 bill or something. You know. No, I'm just saying. You know, when I'm sick, when I'm that sick, I'm just like, I'm laying on the couch, I'm like, just don't, you know, even, you know, Jan, you feeling better? Yeah, you want something? No?
Grumpy.
Yeah, grumpy, yeah. just, I'm sick, you know, just leave me alone, you know, if I want something, I'll yell, or, you know, that's just the way I am, you know. Terrible thought process, isn't it? But they're in this slave mentality, and God's trying to get them out of it. So the last plague that He sends, is death. That's coming through every Egyptian house. Now remember, He's already shown them the waters turned to blood, and locusts and frogs, and it was pitch dark for 3 days, and all this devastation. The locusts have come and just devoured their crops, and it's been terrible, and it's all been at the command of Moses. It wasn't a surprise, but the farther they remove from that day, the less impact it has. And it doesn't take very long, does it? Now you would think, how many would think if God sent a plague and it was announced on television that some prophet of ours, of some maybe Billy Graham, the evangelist Billy Graham, made an announcement on television that the death angel is coming to America, and if you don't have the blood over the lintel and the doorpost, your firstborn of your house is going to die. And then all of a sudden at midnight, sure enough, the death angel comes, and we wake up the next morning, and we can hear the midnight cry in our communities, and the next morning we wake up and there's every non-Christian that doesn't put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels, that we wake up in the newspaper and CNN and all those news companies, all of a sudden they're flashing on there, millions have died in every home. And then another flash comes out and says, but in the Christian home, not one was lost. That's powerful, wouldn't it? I mean, that would, you'd think that would carry you for years, but it doesn't. Because they're going to, and he says, here's what I want you to do. Before it came, he says, in Exodus 12, verse 11, he says, thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist and sandals on your feet. He's talking about the Passover lamb. And your staff in your hand, and so you eat it in haste. You know, they don't eat meals like that. They lounge and they take their shoes off and wash their feet. And they're, you ever see them at the Jewish table, little old table, and they're all laying down there and they're taking their time and they're sopping. And you know, this is a ritual. And he said, not this meal. You've got your shoes on, your belts on, your staff's in your hand. And he's trying to give them a picture here along with the death. that says, I want you to remember. I want you to, your thinking to be, this is why I live in freedom. See, Jesus is that for us. Jesus is why we should have this picture that we live in freedom as Christians. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we can work to earn it. It's not because we have some kind of a special merit that we've mustered ourselves. This is through Jesus Christ, through the cross of Christ. We should have in our thinking that we're privileged and blessed and we're the children of God and we should live like children of God. But we remove from our salvation experience just like they remove from this day. And all of a sudden they get over in the wilderness and there's no water. And somebody gives out the first report, I think we're out of water. And it just spreads across 3 million people. Did you hear that? I think we're out of water. You have water? No, not much. You got any water? Well, all of a sudden, they're panicking. God has just given them all these things. They even have the dough, the Bible said, this unleavened dough, and their shoulders wrapped in cloth, and they're going out. And this is a reminder of just where they've come from. And still, the first time, right in the moment, remember the power of the moment? All this death and all these things that God has shown them, and because of the moment, oh, no water. And somebody loses it. We're all going to die! And it just spreads through that like a cancer. Like a cancer. Same way with you and I. Just takes two or three. Gas is $3.40 a gallon. What are we going to do? Groceries are going up. The economy. People's laying off everywhere. See, it doesn't take much, does it? Just fearful thinking. I remember years ago, and this just gripped me. I was headed down to see some kin folks. I was on Highway 19 getting ready to pull out on 177. There's a little store right there. And I remember looking up on this little short hill, and I saw a semi coming, but I thought, well, he's up there a ways. And so I pulled out, and as soon as I pulled out, I could tell he was coming at a rapid pace right behind me. Big semi, and I'm in a car. Usually I'm in my pickup truck, but I was in a car. And I can remember fear just gripping my heart. And I stepped on the accelerator. And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and he's coming faster. And I'm going like 90-something miles an hour. Just that fast. And I thought, when I leveled off, I thought, you know, he probably would have slowed down. But I got caught up in that moment. And it was real to me. And I just knew, this is it. He's going to run over me. And I just, and I thought, how could I get so caught up? I'm a grown man. He's got brakes on the truck. Maybe, yeah. But I'm telling you, that's the way we are in life. We something triggers, you know, and oh, maybe it's heartburn. Maybe it's a little heartburn. Oh, am I having a heart attack? Whew, you know. I mean, my hairdresser cutting my hair the other day, and she said, my husband's coming in town, and she said they've gotten a little argument over some stuff, and she said, I hope he's not coming in to tell me he's leaving. Great lady. And I thought, there's something working in her thought process. Guess what he come in and did? He told her, I'm leaving. Good lady. Nice lady. I'm telling you, we get caught up in our thoughts, and we need to say, you know what? God has not given me the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. That's easier to quote than it is to do when something's coming against you, isn't it? But we need to be like David. Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What's in your heart? Because whatever's in your heart, if it's God's word, that's what's going to motivate your thoughts. If you're lacking in the Word of God, there's going to be more flesh. Remember, he said our warfare is not for the flesh, is it? but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Taking every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. Listen, if there's something in your life that is not, it's not Christ-like, let me tell you something. Throw all your blame out the window. Throw all your blame out the window. Don't blame your school if your grades are bad. One of my grandsons the other day said, his grades had come up and then it went back down. And he said, yeah, but you know this teacher, what she's doing now? I thought, no, but you need to know what this teacher's doing now.
That's right.
That's what's important. It's not if I know what she's doing now, you need to know what she's doing now. Yeah, I'm going to graduate Saturday and with my Bachelor of Science degree, and we had a professor, an old professor that needed to be retired already, and was just, it was supposed to be a leadership class, and it really wasn't a leadership class. It was a, I'm going to pick you to death, and it better be, everything I say better be on the form, and it better be in the right order, and you know, that was what his class was about. It didn't matter if you put the leadership questions or answers right. What mattered to him was taking everything and put it in the perfect form. And you just better know those kind of professors, or they'll give you a B or C or F or whatever. Because that's what they're looking for. I remember one kid in that class saying, I put the answer. He said, yeah, but you didn't put it like in this order. Give him an F. So in those kind of instances, yeah, it may matter what other people think, but listen, on your thinking, when your everyday thinking, it does not matter what other people think and what other people do. How many knows when they came out, Israel came out of bondage, some say there was like 3 million people. There was three that was different. Moses, Caleb, and Joshua. And the reason they were different is because they thought different. 3 million people that had been in bondage, this is what they thought. If we don't have water here, guess where we know we can get water? Back at the slave hole. And that's where their thoughts went, right back to where they were in bondage, as a good thing. They thought of slavery as a good thing now. Oh, at least we had water back there. When they didn't think there was enough to eat, guess where their mind went back to? Back to Egypt, back to slavery, back to bondage. Because at least we had enough food. Guess where you know what? I got to think it. Moses never looked back, did he? You never hear Moses saying, you know what? I had it better back there when it was just me and my wife, my son, and a few sheep that I was watching over. You never hear him say that, do you? Never. And then Joshua and Caleb, they even take it to a higher level, because here's what I believe. You might want to write this down. I think the children of Israel, you know what they had? They had the promises of God, right? They had the same promises that Moses and Joshua and Caleb had. How many knows we all have God's promises in this room, every one of us? You all have God's promises. You are bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. Jesus paid for you with His precious blood and His life. You belong to Him now. You are an obedient servant of Christ, or should be. We are definitely bought with a price. So they all had the promises of God. Israel had the promises of God. Moses had the promises of God. Joshua and Caleb had the promises of God. And then Moses had faith. Israel had the promises minus faith equals a defeated thought or defeated life. So you can know all about the Word, but if you don't have faith, how many knows you know better off than the sinner? Like you may be worse off, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So He's required us to believe. Be kind of like your kid saying, you tell one of your kids, Junior, take out the trash. Junior looked at you and said, Daddy, I'm afraid to take out the trash. I'm afraid the booger man's out there and I'm not going to take it out. And a good daddy would say, Junior, let me tell you what you better be afraid of. There's no booger man out there, and I'm telling you as your daddy to take that trash out. Well, Daddy, I'm just not going to take that trash out because I'm afraid to go out there. Now, a good dad might even escort him once. or you know, whatever. But you know, you're not going to buy that, are you? That's not going to fly at your house, right? Especially if they're 16. You know, I'm afraid of the boogeyman, and I'm not buying. You know. It's kind of like God said when he's talking about his children. He said, you better not fear the one that just has the power to kill your body. I thought, well, that's a pretty good fear, isn't it? He said, you better be afraid of the one that has the power to kill your body and then cast your soul into hell. It's called the fear of the God. It's the beginning of wisdom. Okay? And so, here they are. And they have the promises, same promises that Caleb, Jacob had, as Moses had. And in Moses, he lacked one thing. Moses had the promises, he had the faith, but he lacked obedience, complete obedience, didn't he? And if you've got that, I'm telling you, you've got something that will have a powerful thought process if you'll put God's promises along with faith, along with obedience. And you need all three of those if you want to have a right thought process. Because faith is doing. You know, faith is acting out what you know. Faith that is not faith. It's dead, isn't it? Faith without works is dead. And so, they had a different mindset. In Numbers 14:24, this is what he said about Caleb. Now remember, everybody else is negative. Everybody else thinks they're going to die. Everybody else has seen the promised land and they think it's all over. Everybody else is speaking negative. And that's why I say, church, you cannot blame others for what you think. You just can't do it. God's holding you accountable. If this whole church become faithless, God's still going to hold you accountable for having faith. And so he said this about Caleb. He said, my servant Caleb is going to make this promised land because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. I will bring him into the land where he went. And he's talking about when he searched out the promised land, and his descendants shall inherit it. You know what he's saying? Not only will Caleb get this, all of his children now, his children's children, are going to enjoy this blessing because his thinking is different from all the doubters. So if he can have that kind of a heart and mind in the midst of 3 million, we ought to be able to have a good heart and mind in the midst of a city that has maybe 1 million people. Your thought process belongs to you. I don't care if you're at home and you're under your mom and dad. Listen, your thought process belongs to you. Well, they make me mad. Well, you better get over me. And saying, you know what? I'm supposed to obey and honor as long as I'm home and they're providing a roof for me and place for me. And you need to have a good heart and a good attitude. That's your part. And then dads, our part is not to provoke them to wrath. That's easy for us dads sometimes, isn't it? I'll give you something to cry about, boy. You know, just provoking stuff. He said, don't do that. Treat them right and treat them good and you know, treat them firm. And then Deuteronomy, one more scripture, because he talks about Joshua and Caleb. See, they had the promise of God for a promised land. They had faith and they also had obedience. Takes all three. Deuteronomy 1:36. God says, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, the promised land, and to him and his children I'm giving the land to which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. You want a process, a thought process that'll work for you? Just sell out to Jesus Christ. Be fully committed to Christ. And then he said, the Lord also was angry with me, Moses said, because saying, even you shall not go in there. Remember when he smote the rock and God said, you speak to the rock representing Jesus Christ, and he's only smitten once. Next time he's coming back, as he'll be speaking the truth, and this truth comes from his mouth like a double-edged sword, and people will bow the knee. He wouldn't punish twice. And so Moses missed the promised land. Listen, when we're not obedient to God's word, especially the farther we grow in our faith, the more it's going to cost us and the more it'll affect our thinking. Okay? And so he said in verse 38, but Joshua the son of Nun who stands before you, he shall go in there, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And so he's got these two young men that are going to make it. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison at midnight, stripes and blood on their back, and they were in prison and in stocks, you know what they began to do? they begin to do what they're supposed to do, and that is praise the Lord. When Job, when he was robbed of all his wealth and his children, remember what he did? He fell on his face and he began to worship God. And he said, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what that is? It's a right thought process in the middle of turmoil. And I want to tell you something. The right thought process in the moment, never underestimate the power of the moment, what's going on in your life. Listen, that's why when you young people, when you're in the back seat of a car with the opposite sex, you need to be careful. There's power in the moment. There's power in the moment because he loves you. She loves me. True love says we'll do everything that we're going to do according to the Scripture. But never underestimate the power of thought. Power of thought is when some kids at school are discarded and mistreated, and all of a sudden they bring weapons to school because they've allowed individuals to mess with their mind and their thought process, and they carry that thing. It's a stronghold. And remember what he said, take it captive. Every thought captive and bring it into the obedience of Jesus Christ. We have the power to do that through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what I want to do in closing. If you're here today and you have some thoughts that you've been defeated in, I want you to take them captive. I want you to take them captive because you can. Something that's been bothering you and aggravating you and eating on you and challenging you and threatening you, today I want you to say, you know what? I take that captive in the name of Jesus. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And I take that captive in the name of Jesus Christ. You may be like me that had to take the thought captive. I'll never get better. Last week. I mean, that was just as real as you're sitting here. I thought, man, I'm so sick. I don't know if I'll ever get better. I may die. I got a little excited about that, thinking I might get to go home. I got some loved ones in heaven that I can't wait to see. And I'm excited about it. And I know I've got people here that I love and enjoy. But I'm not, you know, when he's ready, I'm ready. See, that's my thought process. Let's take it captive in the name of Jesus. Father, just say this to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take every thought captive through the power of the Holy Spirit, and I bring it into obedience. According to your word, I align my thoughts, and I give them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now you have to walk in it in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to walk in it in the name of Jesus Christ. You have the power, and don't give it back to the enemy. Okay? You have the power. Joshua and Caleb had the power. You have the power. Nobody else wants to go with you. That's okay. They don't have to. But you just keep hanging around because you're going to get the promise. You just keep hanging around. 40 years they had to wait, and they had to hang around the losers and the doubters, but then they got the promise. And so just keep thinking thoughts that God says who you are and what you should think and how you should think, and watch the blessings of God come, and you and your family and your kids and your grandkids will receive the blessings that God has provided. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. We ask you to help us to guard our thoughts. For those that are struggling in battles that just gave their thoughts or took those thoughts captive, I bring my faith and I join it with them, and I ask in Jesus' name that from this day forward it will never be the same in their life. The power that this thing had, whether it's fear or hurt or anger or lust or greed or whatever it might be, from this day forward it will be consumed and trodden down by the power of the Holy Spirit and cast it out of their life and help them to walk in victory and do the things that they would do if they were healed. Do the things that they would do if they were completely well in the name of Jesus Christ, that were completely over. Help them to take action now and to follow that process in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise and glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, if there's one here today that's strayed away from you or has never invited you into their life today, I pray that you'll help them to pray this prayer. And while Christians are praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you need Christ in a new way in your life, just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and life. Be my Lord and Savior again. Be my Lord and Savior today. I make you Lord of my life. I want to serve you the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.